Okay, we're back. This is Candid Conversations with Connie, and I don't have any guests today. It's just me. For any of you that are interested, the memorial service for Mitch, Robert Mitchell, is tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. A lot of people have asked me if I'm going to say anything at the service, and I'm not. It would be too hard in front of a lot of people. But I would like to say something now. This is a little poem I wrote about him last night. I'm not really much of a poet, but here it is. It's called The Dish Rag. The dish rag sits on the... Actually, I should explain this. You see, okay, Mitch is the dish rag. Okay. The dish rag sits on the counter, catching no one's eye. You know, the whole dish rag thing isn't an insult. It sounds like it, because dish rags are usually dirty, but my point is that dish rags make other things look better. You know, shinier. Anyway, the dish rag sits on the counter, catching no one's eye. The polished brass reflecting... You guys probably don't know this, but Mitch was in public relations, see? His job was to make his employer look good to the public. And he was good at it, even though he got no credit. And he did that with a lot of things. He made other people look and feel better. So that's the whole thing with the dish rag.
Oh, Connie.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi, dear.
Oh, Jack, good, you're back. I was getting worried. Did everything go okay?
Well,
You know, we'd rather not talk about it right now, Joanne.
Why?
We'll discuss it later, okay?
What is that?
This?
It's a cleaning device.
Yes, yes, I need to clean some things out of the shop here.
You're acting really strange.
Joanne, we'll explain later. It has to do a little extermination.
What?
Let's talk about something else.
Where have you been? What took you so long?
I had to ditch the car.
Whitaker's been back for almost an hour.
Have they said anything interesting?
Hardly. Alan and his wife have been talking about antiques for 20 minutes.
Wait, they just got held up in the post office parking lot and they're talking about antiques?
He hasn't told her.
That doesn't make sense.
They're weird people and I don't care. Do you have the package?
Of course.
Great.
Ah, do I get to see what it is before I leave town?
Where are you going?
My cover's blown here. I'm going to find Meltzner.
You know we have people to do that already.
They won't find him. I will. You need scissors.
No. Stamps.
What? No, that can't be.
We've been duped. He must have made a switch at the post office.
Oh, I'll get it back. Let me go over there.
Quiet! What is happening? I didn't realize Whitaker was such a comedian. Punch up the library, will you?
This is Joanne Allen, signing off from the library. If you'd like to continue listening, go to the Bible room. Talk to you later.
Hey there. This is Jack, joining you from the Bible room. On to you in the kitchen, Whitaker.
Very clever.
Oh, hello from the kitchen. I just wanted to say what a pleasure it's been performing for you.
Do you want to tell the chairman, or shall I?
I thought you were leaving to find Meltzner.
I am.
He could be anywhere in the world. You act like he's hiding under his bed.
Just leave it to me.
Well, that's it. All the bugs are gone, including another one in the Bible room and another one in the office.
They put two bugs in the same room?
Well, maybe. though they were a different type of bug than the others.
Meaning what? That someone else is spying on us? Good grief, Whit. How many people are in on this?
Well, I'll find out soon enough. But meanwhile, I've cleared out the phone taps and installed a new high-security modem on my computer. I told Jack and Joanne to do the same at the antique shop. I'm going to have an alarm system installed, too.
I hate this. It feels like we're turning Whit's End into a prison.
Oh, hi, Wooten.
Hey, Wooten.
Oh, hi, Mr. Whitaker. Hey, Connie, I'm really sorry about Mitch.
Thanks, Wooten.
Yeah, I liked him, even though he usually sent things UPS. Is there anything I can do?
Just pray.
Oh, I've been doing that. Let me know if there's anything else.
I will. Thanks.
Okay. Here's your mail, Mr. Whitaker. You got a letter from your daughter, a couple of bills, and the mysterious package that we cleverly switched at the post office.
Oh, thank you, Wooten. I'll take it.
I usually don't ask people about what's in the packages I deliver. Well, yeah, sometimes I do when it's an interesting shape or when it's in a big box or when it says confidential in big red letters on the front, but I am curious about yours, Mr. Whitaker.
I'm sorry, Wooten, but I'd rather not get you involved.
Okay, that's all right. I'm good at not being involved. Eugene told me he didn't want me to be involved, too, so I'm sure it's something I don't need to be involved in.
When did you see Eugene?
The night before last. He came up to the post office real late to put something in the boxes outside. I was filling in on the late shift, and I saw him. It was a package kind of like yours.
Did you see where he sent it?
I didn't notice. He acted like he was in kind of a rush, so we didn't talk too much. I'm sorry, I should have looked closer.
That's fine, Wooten.
Okay, I guess I'll go finish up my route then.
Bye.
So long.
Bye.
Eugene mailed something before he left Odyssey?
Well, first things first. Let's find out what's on this disc. I can't make heads or tails of it. Everything's encoded.
Don't you know how to decode it?
Well, I could try, but it might take me days to figure it out. Oh, this is where I need Eugene. Wait a minute.
What?
Well, there's a file here in plain text. It's a memo of some sort.
Minutes from Andromeda board meeting.
Vote is taken and Operation Think Tank is given approval by a 12-1 vote.
Look at the list of people present. Bennett Charles, Armitage Shanks.
Oh, I got an email.
From Eugene.
Dear Mr. Whitaker, we are safe. Please don't try to find us. You may unintentionally lead the unwanted to me. Signed, Eugene.
The unwanted? What do you think that means?
I don't know. But I think we should do what Eugene says and not pursue it.
You mean you're not going to do anything?
Well, what can we do? He asked us not to find him, for good reason.
But I can't sit here and do nothing.
I'm afraid we have no choice.
Well, this is so crazy. Everything's out of control.
Everything may be out of your control, Connie.
I know. But I just feel like going home and sleeping until God makes the world right again. I need to go for a walk. Can I leave for a while?
Sure.
Oh, hi, Connie.
Hi, Wooten. What are you doing here?
Oh, I sometimes take a long cut through the park when I'm doing my route. Hey, this is my favorite bench, too. Do you mind if I sit down?
No, go right ahead.
Are you thinking about Mitch?
I'm trying to remember the last thing I said to him. It was probably something really stupid. He told me he thought he was falling in love with me. I wonder if I was falling for him, too. But I guess I'll never know now. I know I loved him like a friend, but I never told him that either. I was too busy not trusting him.
Oh.
You know, except for my parents, I've never had one of those scenes where someone tells me that they love me and then I say it back, or vice versa. I see it all the time in the movies. It seems so easy, but for some reason, it's never happened to me. And Eugene, the last time I saw him, we argued for 2 hours about whether or not his socks matched his shirt. And who knows when I'll see him again. I miss Eugene. He's one of my best friends. And I couldn't care less right now if he's wearing mismatching socks or not. That's my problem. I talk about socks.
Well, you know, I think it's okay to talk about socks. I mean, a two-hour conversation about socks can say I love you just as much as we'll say I love you.
What?
Yeah, I had a best friend in Alaska when I was little, and we used to sit on my porch and argue about superheroes. My mom would ask me why we even hung out together, because all we did was argue. But I'd tell her, you know, that he's my best friend, and I'd rather spend time arguing with him about superheroes than with anybody else eating cheeseburgers. And incidentally, I love cheeseburgers. My point is that 2 hours is a lot of time, and the fact that you chose to spend it with Eugene, I'm sure means a lot to him.
Well, still no excuse for not saying it for real.
You know what you need?
Counseling.
Nope. Funnel cake.
Funnel cake?
Just a second, Tom.
How'd you know it was me?
I've had to step up security here. I saw you come in on the monitor.
What's going on around here, Whit? Security monitors? Locking your door? What's next, guard dogs?
Well, it's necessary for the moment.
Does it have something to do with that article in the paper this morning?
Oh, you mean about Eugene?
Yes. What in the world is that all about? And why did I have to read about it in the newspaper?
Oh, I'm sorry, Tom. Everything's been happening so fast. It's a long story.
I've got time.
Oh, unfortunately, I don't. I'm trying to figure out how to read a computer file, and this package didn't exactly come with an instruction book. Oh, what's this?
What?
This piece of paper in here.
And?
It's an address. Oh, from Chicago.
What was that?
Oh, somebody's here. Oh, it's Agent Borland.
Borland?
Yeah, he's with the FBI.
FBI? Whit, you've got to tell me what is going on here.
I will, Tom. I promise. But let's go see what Agent Borland wants.
Two large funnel cakes, please.
You bet.
I guess it's my history with dating, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, what do you mean?
The guys I've dated all turned out to be wrong. So I guess I was just waiting for Mitch to be wrong, too.
Here you go.
Oh, thank you. Here, Connie.
Thanks, Wheaton.
No, wait.
What?
You can't just eat a naked funnel cake. You have to add the powdered sugar. Here.
Well, that's enough.
Oh, wait, you forgot the whipped cream.
But I don't really... Oh, okay.
No, wait, and sprinkles.
Great, you got any lard you want to add?
You can't eat a funnel cake without the proper toppings.
It looks delicious. Anyway, I think I have a problem with relating to guys.
Yeah. You know what you need?
What?
Laser tag.
Hello, Mr. Whitaker.
Agent Borland, do you know Tom Riley?
Hello. Ah, Tom Riley. A pleasure to finally meet you face to face.
Finally? You say that like you have a file on me or something.
The Novacom Tower is on your land, isn't it?
Well, yes.
There you are, then.
Huh?
So, Mr. Whitaker, I understand you've had some excitement around here.
I have.
Why didn't you tell me about the post office?
Oh, I figured you already knew, since you had your men watching me, and you bugged my shop.
It was for your own protection.
Well, I didn't notice any protection from the FBI when Monica Stone threatened us in the post office parking lot.
Yes. Well, I would like the disc now.
Yeah, I have it right here. I hope you have more success decoding it than I have.
We'll give it a try. Thank you, Mr. Whitaker.
I'm sure I'll see you soon.
I am really confused, Whit.
Well, it's very complicated.
And I noticed you didn't give him the address you found in the package.
I want to investigate this lead myself.
Are you sure that's such a good idea? I mean, what's this all about you being threatened at the post office? It sure doesn't sound like something I'd want to handle by myself.
Well, Tom, I need to do this part on my own. Now, would you mind watching the shop for me until Nick comes in?
I don't mind. But where are you off to now?
Chicago.
Hey,
How could I have missed the signs? The whole time Aram, both of them were on our side.
Don't blame yourself. It was real confusing. Hey, watch out, Connie. The kid in the red shirt just went up the stairs. You might want to have your laser ready.
He wasn't loyal to Novacom. He was trying to expose them.
Ooh, I've got him in my sights. He doesn't see us.
I mean, am I such a horrible judge of character?
Man, I missed him. Oh, watch out, Connie. He's sneaking around the corner.
Why do I always think the worst of people?
He's coming at you. Turn around.
Eat lasers, pig!
Oh, wow. Got him. Oh, good job.
Maybe I should give up on relationships and on a convent.
You know what you need?
What?
You need to spin at such an incredibly high speed that when the floor drops out from under you, you stick to the wall by centrifugal force. Oh, man, I'm gonna be sick.
I need to sit down.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. My chest is still constricted. Did the fair help any?
You know what? It did.
Oh, that's good. Fairs always do the trick for me, too. Ooh.
You really took a lot of time out of your day to hang out with me. Thanks, Wooten.
Oh, don't thank me. Thank all the people on my route that are going to get their mail at 10 o'clock tonight. Hey, did you ever do anything like this with Mitch?
What?
You know, spend a few hours with him, just hanging out.
Yeah, we did that a lot.
Yeah. Then he knew you cared about him.
Maybe you're right.
Hello? Is anyone in there?
I've tried that. Don't do no good. He won't answer the door.
Who?
Dent. That is who you're looking for, right?
Yes, yes. Are you sure he's in there?
Oh, yeah. I hear him every now and then. These walls are like paper. Cheap as all get out. Used to be his mother's place, you know, till she died last year. Yeah, he stays here when he's not traveling for that, whatchamacallit, company.
Well, don't you think we should make sure he's okay?
Be my guest. He was away for a while, asked me to look after the place, so I've got a key. Here.
Oh, Mr. Dent!
Is he dead?
Call an ambulance.
Dr. Morris, dial 1-8.
Mr. Whitaker?
Yes, doctor?
Yes, I was wondering if you knew how we could contact Arthur's family.
Well, I don't. I'm sorry. Why do you need them?
Well, there are some decisions that need to be made on his behalf, and we need his family here to make them.
What kinds of decisions?
Well, treatment. Mr. Dent suffered a stroke, and we have to do some more tests. But it appears it may have been caused by a brain tumor. There are certain treatments which are, of course, effective, but they're also risky. We need his family here to make those decisions.
Why can't he make them himself? Is he unconscious?
He is conscious, but he seems to be suffering from a deep-seated paranoia.
Paranoia? May I see him?
Yes, but be careful not to upset him.
Mr. Dent?
Whitaker!
How are you feeling?
You'll have to get me out of here.
Now just lie back. Don't get yourself upset. The doctor said you had a stroke.
No, not a stroke! Please! You have to help me! I have to get out of here.
But you need treatment.
They'll find me and kill me.
Who?
The same people who killed Armitage Shanks. I have to go. They'll find out I'm here. Now, please, wait.
You need to calm down.
But you don't understand what's happening. No one does. If I stay here, I'll be dead before morning. Help me, Whit. You have to help me now.
Last night.
I had to go to Chicago.
Chicago?
I'll explain later.
I was afraid you weren't going to make it back for the memorial service this morning.
When does it start?
Now. I was just about to head over there.
Okay. Well, let's close the shop.
Okay, Whitaker.
You and I need to have a chat.
Oh, Agent Borland.
I'll meet you over there.
All right, Connie.
Why did you go to Chicago yesterday?
Oh, I'm so surprised you knew.
Whether you believe it or not, we are here to protect you. It's in your best interest to tell us what you're up to.
So, you want to start sharing information?
Yes.
I don't mean sharing in the sense that I tell you what I know and you don't tell me anything at all. I mean sharing what we both know. This is supposed to be about trust, right?
All right.
All right, good. You go first.
The truth is, we're not sure what we're dealing with.
Oh, that's more like it.
We weren't able to decode much of the disk, so a lot of their plans are still a mystery.
Well, what do you know, then?
We know this much. Whatever Andromeda has planned for the radio waves research is being thwarted.
Thwarted? How?
By Eugene's disappearance, for one thing. Whatever information he took has delayed their plans. That's why they're desperate to get it back.
Now, you said for one thing. Is there something else holding them up?
Yes.
What?
You. You're getting in their way.
I don't understand.
Think about it, Mr. Whittaker. Why do you suppose there's been so much activity around you? Modems, bugs, cameras in your office?
Well, I don't know anything about it. Why are they after me?
That's what I'm trying to find out.
That was a beautiful eulogy, Jack.
Yeah, thank you for what you said.
It was all true.
Mitch was a good man.
I know. He was.
Sure were a lot of people here.
Yeah, I'm glad. He had a lot... What is he doing here?
Who?
Excuse me. Excuse me.
Wait, Connie.
Mr. Charles?
Yes?
How dare you show your face here?
I'm sorry. Do I know you?
Don't play dumb. You know who I am, and I know you. You're the one who murdered Mitch.
Connie.
I'm sorry. I have no idea what you're talking about. Mitch was a co-worker of mine and a dear friend. I assure you, Novacom will do everything in its power to find the killers.
Well, you're such a liar.
Connie, stop. Mr. Charles, I think it would be best if you leave.
Gladly.
I can't believe he came.
Who on earth was that?
Well, he works with Novacom.
I can't wait for our long talk, Whit.
It's coming. Connie, why don't you sit down?
Are you okay?
I'm fine. Just overloaded.
I'm sure you are. Look, why don't you come over for lunch?
Sure, that would be nice.
You too, Whit. And Tom.
Thanks, Joanne, but I need to get back. Connie, I've got everything under control at the Timothy Center. You take as much time off as you need.
Okay.
I'll talk to you later.
Right. Bye-bye, Tom.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Whit, are you coming for lunch?
Yes, thank you.
Take your time. Bye, Connie.
Goodbye, Connie.
Bye.
Are you ready to go, Connie?
I'd like to stay for a little bit.
All right. Do you want to be alone?
No.
Okay.
Beautiful flowers, huh?
Hmm.
Mitch had a lot of friends.
Well, obviously, there was more to his life than Novacom.
Obviously. He had more friends than I do. And he just got here a few months ago. I wonder if he knew.
Knew what?
What kind of impact he had on people. I talked to a bunch of teenagers in the Sunday school class he taught. They thought he was the greatest. And the people he worked with. The people he played softball with. People he dated. I wonder if he knew. I never told him.
Well, sometimes we have to hope that God fills in the blanks for all the things we should have said.
Yeah, but we shouldn't expect him to. I love you, Whit.
Oh, Connie. I love you too.
Over the last few episodes, we've explored a lot of difficult subjects and themes. Connie and Mitch showed us how important trust is to a relationship. These episodes also taught us about the presence of good and evil in our world, and how it's hard sometimes to figure out which is which. In the episodes ahead, we'll see how God will help us to discern what is right and wrong as we prayerfully obey Him. But the one thing that is so important to learn from these episodes is that God honors those who do right and fight against evil, even when there are obstacles in their way. As the Apostle Paul tells his student in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith, and there is laid for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day." Oh, what a thrill it would be to stand before God, having fought for what is good, and be told, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Well, it's obvious this adventure with Novacom is not over yet, so be sure to keep listening. Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. Plan B, Resistance, was written and directed by Marshall Younger. Our production engineer was Jonathan Crow, with production assistance from Glenn Montjoy. And our executive producer is Paul McCusker. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.